my love in every way. You're mine, arm in arm, hand in hand, we will be found together, heart to heart, lips to lips, we're chained and bound together. I owe you. I don't need to buy love. You're a slave to my love in every way.
I'm all a quiver. What a mess you're making. The neighbors want to know why I'm always shaking just like a flipper. Each morning I get up with the sun to find at night no work has been done. I know that once it didn't matter, but now you're doing wrong. When you start to patter, I'm unhappy. Take the day off, far away off, and make me happy. Oh, how I fascinating rhythm, fascinating rhythm.
No one ever tells you what it's like to love and lose, how it feels to waken and have breakfast with the blues, how to go on living, how to face another day. No one ever tells you the way. And no one ever tells you how it feels to walk alone, listening for those footsteps through the echo of your own. All at once it hits you, all those dreams weren't worth a dime, 'cause no one ever tells you in time. Long before the icy winds of winter, autumn tells the swallows time to fly. Why did she pretend till the bitter end, till it broke my heart to say goodbye? Bye bye, baby, no one ever tells you that it's just another fling. No one ever warns you when your heart begins to sing. Someone tells you later all is fair in love and war, but no one ever tells you before. Baby, no, no one ever tells you.
Laughing eyes, and suddenly you're sighing sighs. You're thinking nothing's wrong, you string along, boy, then snap. Those eyes, those sighs, they're part of the tender trap. You're hand in hand beneath the trees, and soon there's music in the breeze. You're acting kind of smart until your heart just goes whap. Those trees, that breeze, they're part of the tender trap. Some starry night, when his kisses will make you tingle, for being single. And all at once it seems so nice, the folks are throwing shoes and rice. You hurry to a spot that's just a dot on the map. You're hooked, you're cooked, you're caught in the tender trap. Thank you. It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings, just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, one of those fabulous flights, trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things. If we'd thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those.
Oh, okay. Cool.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is the May 27th meeting of the City of Goleta Parks and Recreation Commission, and we'll start with a call to order and pledge of allegiance.
The pledge.
I guess we start with the pledge. Okay,
you
we'll start
called,
with the pledge.
You just called
of
us to order. All right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, yeah, I was thinking roll call. That's what I was thinking. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Now you can do it.
Okay. Chair Richards.
Here.
Vice Chair Hart.
Here.
Commissioner Barsky. Commissioner Jones. Commissioner Rojas, Commissioner West,
here,
and Commissioner Sinskal.
Here.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. At this point, we do have a public forum, which is an opportunity for the public to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Anybody that's here to speak is requested to complete a speaker request form and submit it to the clerk. Reasonable time limits are imposed on each topic and each speaker. And in accordance with the Ralph Brown Act, no action or discussion may take place by the commission on any item not posted on the agenda. The commission may respond to statements made or questions asked and may direct the staff to report back on the topic at a future meeting. And we do have two speaker slips at this point. I want to call Mark Wilkinson, and you're representing the Santa Barbara County Trails Council.
Commissioner Richards and fellow commissioners, my name is Mark Wilkinson with the Santa Barbara County Trails Council, and I appreciate this opportunity to speak before you today. I'd like to follow up on my last appearance where I suggested that the commission consider doing a pilot trail project at some time in the near future. And since then, I've been able to put together a preliminary budget cost just to give you an idea of how inexpensive a pilot might be. If we were to do 3/4 of a mile of a trail in the Stowe Grove Park area, a budget of about $45,000 would be enough to create something that would be memorable, usable, and accessible for people in the neighborhood and the community. And the Trails Council would be willing to raise the funds for that project, as well as do the construction work. A little larger project would be at Los Caneros, where we would do a perimeter trail And we need a little bit bigger budget, about $75,000, that would include trail work and signage and so forth. So as you deliberate over the summer about priorities, that might help you think about how expensive things are. On a slightly related topic is that the city of Goleta connects with the county Eastern Goleta Community Plan. And if there's a trail that connects from the city into the forest, most likely it would be one that would come off Fairview Avenue and go up into the forest. A historic trail called the Slippery Rock Trail is in that area. And so I just wanted the Parks and Recreation Commission to know that the Trails Council is advocating for that trail, and we're having postcards distributed locally. I gave you a handout showing the cover as well as the message on it, and we hope to get 500 to 1,000 signatures submitted to the Planning Commission before their hearing on June 17th to encourage that trails be provided in their plan in order to meet several requirements, that they adopt policies and programs to ensure that new trails are implemented, pursue creative measures to spur trail acquisition, and provide strong incentives for landowners to offer easements for new trails. When I attended one of the workshops, several of the groups got up and said, hey, why aren't there trails from the city of Goleta into the forest? And this is part of the reason, is the incentives aren't in place. So we're taking a little bit of action, trying to move the ball forward. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yes.
Am I allowed to ask staff a question in regards to what he just said?
Yeah, we can entertain that.
Sure.
Okay. My question is, those two trails sounded wonderful. That particular nonprofit is willing to raise the funds themselves. Would there be any reason at all why the city of Goleta wouldn't want to partner with such a proposal?
Staff has had prior contact with Mr. Wilkinson, and in fact, we had a presentation, I believe it was last year, in front of the commission with Mr. Wilkinson. We'll continue working with him on this concept and go from there and report back. We anticipate a staff item, a report item, coming back to the commission at a future commission meeting.
Very good. Thank you very much. We have another speaker slip, but I noticed that it's for a specific agenda item, so I think we'll hold on to that and wait till that item on the agenda. All right. That brings us to item A on the agenda, the consent calendar, and item A1. Is the approval of the commission minutes from March 27th and April 15th.
May we have separate motions, please?
Okay, yes, very good.
Thank you, Chair.
Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the March 27th meeting?
Yes, I so move.
I will second.
All right, any objection to consensus approval of the minutes? None? Okay, thank you. And the April 15th meeting? Do I hear a motion?
I so move.
All right, a second?
I will second.
All right, any objection to consensus approval of the April 15th minutes? None. Okay, thank you very much. It's approved. All right, that brings us to item B. It's a discussion action item. The Hollister Kellogg Park design and renovations. Claudia, Ms. Dato?
Okay, it's good to be back before you all tonight. I'm just going to give a little bit of background, since I'm not sure if everyone here and was here at the last meeting, and certainly for the public's benefit. We had a design for the park that was developed, over 2012 to 2014, roughly, and in the fall of 2014, the Goleta Water District implemented a new water moratorium on new water service connections. They did provide an exemption for properties with historic water credits, as long as a new development would not exceed those water credits. The park site had an accredit established of 4.62 acre feet per year. Unfortunately, the previous design had a water demand of 6.9 acre feet per year, and so that brought about the need to do revisions to the park design to bring that water demand at or below what the allowance from the district is. So we took a couple of options to the Parks and Recreation Commission back in November and went over some possible techniques and options for reducing the park's water demand. And at that time, the commission directed staff to hold another public workshop so that we could get more input. So we did that in January, had a very good turnout. So we'll be presenting a revised design tonight that reflects the input that we got from the public during that workshop. So just to refresh your memories, this is an image of the original design. You'll see the large multi-purpose soccer field to the north. In this plan, it was 150 by 300 feet in dimension. In the center part of the site, there's a playground area, some other passive lawn area, basketball court, handball court, and then you'll see in the lower left southwest corner of the site a triangular skateboard plaza, as well as picnic areas interspersed in a parking area to the south. So here's an image of the revised design. Some of the things you'll notice right away are a reduction in the size of the multi-purpose soccer field. That's been reduced to 150 by 235. Again, it was previously 150 by 300. Unfortunately, there was no way to get below the water district allowance without a reduction in the field size. That's the single, by far, the largest water user as far as the park elements go. I'm going to focus in here now on the southern half of the site where most of the changes have occurred. So through the process of looking at options for reducing the park's water demand, we looked at, reducing other lawn areas and increasing the hardscape. And overall, most of the majority of folks, wanted to see more active uses. And so, we've gone towards the approach of increasing the hardscape. You can see the skateboard plaza design has morphed and has been increased to now 5,400 square feet. Originally began at about 3,600 square feet. Through the last several months, I think when we took it to the public workshop, it was about 4,500 square feet. And then, based on the input we heard at the workshop, not only among there was a large contingency of skateboarders at the workshop, but even among non-skateboarders, there seemed to be a lot of support for an increase in the size of the skateboard plaza. We still heard some concerns about not making it so large that it's going to, create a regional draw. But to give you a comparison, the skateboard park in Santa Barbara, Skaters Point, I think it's called, down by the beach, that's about almost 15,000 square feet in size, so quite a bit larger. This is still a plaza design where it's above ground features. There's not a bowl, so to speak. So some of the other revisions, Mr. Adamitis wanted me to point out that this is the first, skate barred park of any type or skateboard feature that the city's developed. And I think this is the first and only one in this area, so it'll be exciting to see that develop. So we've also added a second multi-use basketball court. And originally, the original design was a single just basketball court in an east-west direction. And we've now added, we heard some feedback from the public about making it more of a multi-use hard court. And there's a lot of, experience out there with other parks that have done this where it doubles as a basketball court, but you can throw a net up and use it for volleyball or tennis. So it's very flexible and multi-purpose. So in the area, let me see, Mr. Adamice has a pointer for me. So this area here used to be passive lawn space. So we've added a second basketball court, multi-use court, in that location. The original basketball court to the south of the playground area used to be oriented east-west, but what we heard from some of the people at the public workshop was it'd be great to see one oriented north-south, because in the afternoons there, you know, otherwise, you know, half of the people are looking into the sun when they're trying to play, so it'd be nice to have another option, a north-south option. So, you know, what we did was relocate this bank of, you know, group picnic area was to the south, opposite the northerly bank of group picnic areas. So we moved that over to the north side of the handball court to allow for the north-south orientation. And then we've added some more ping-pong tables, concrete outdoor ping-pong tables. Originally, there was only one in that location. So let's see. The splash pad is still being shown, but you know the district, the water district, has now implemented stage 3 water shortage restrictions. So it's really not an allowed use at this time. What we're, you know, our plan is to leave this area in mulch with no other equipment or any amenities built in that area, so that at some point in the future, it would be easy to go back in and just, you know, scrape away the mulch and be able to install that infrastructure at such a time. You know, hopefully there will be a time where the drought is alleviated and those type of features would be allowed again. Let's see, I did want to mention, because there's been some, let me go back to the other view for a second. There's been some concern raised recently about the sister witness tree, which is in this far southeasterly corner. The property line actually kind of goes through, you know, virtually through the trunk, the center of the tree. I did want to point out that the park improvements will not impact the tree and are not actually in proximity to the tree or its root zone. So the closest, you know, improvements to the tree are going to be some new trees that are planted westerly of it. But the Public Works Department is closely monitoring the tree, and part of the bike path project that's kind of a concurrent project going on with the park. They're looking at the tree. The Public Works Department is working with the city arborist, and we'll be working with the Public Tree Advisory Committee, the PTAC, and the Public Works has also got their consultant who's working on the design of the bike path, taking the health of the tree and the continued health of the tree into consideration. So I know part of the design for the bike path includes a raised boardwalk type of feature so that there won't be any pilings or compaction or anything built over the root zone of the tree itself. So just wanted to quickly point that out, since it's been question raised recently. So it went over all the design changes. I'm going to turn it over now to Susan Van Atta of Van Atta Associates, and she's going to walk us through some of the landscape revisions that have been made.
Hi. So thanks so much for having me tonight, and all of us at Van Atta Associates are really excited to help you realize this really important park, especially Guillermo and Scott, who's been working with me on this really closely. So we've talked about the theory around the field being converted to mulch. We reduced some of the planting. We did work very closely with the neighbors to have a buffer to the north, and so we need to keep that buffer in place. But we have, this whole park was mostly native plants, and we are so we have a little less planting, but still the tall planting remains along the north edge, and that's a native Mahonia. The riparian buffer used to have more diverse native plantings, but we're just using a sedge there now, a native sedge. I'm growing that at my house, and it's very adaptable from dry to wet, so we're using that in the bioswales and along the creek. It also, I've had it completely die on me when my irrigation system broke down, and unbeknownst to me, it actually came back when it got some water. And then we've got fruitless olive trees in place of lemon trees. So as you know, olive trees over time won't require any irrigation, and lemon trees would always require irrigation. And then we did have, as part of the barrier along the north side, we had California native roses, and we've reduced those to a small area. And then we've changed to sage plants in what had been the rose garden along the Kellogg. And the only roses that remain are a thornless Lady Banks rose, which we're using because it's very much a Rancho rose, and but it's just going along the fence, and it also is a plant that once established will require no irrigation. It's very deep rooted. So this is the plant list of the plants that remain, and they're all native plants, except some of the sages we're using now are not native, but they're highly ornamental and they have a long bloom periods. And we're using Toyon, which again, once established, will require no irrigation to screen the trash enclosure. And then this image on the right introduces the sage garden concept. And so the Mexican sage, and this is one that, there's a Mexican sage that is more commonly used, but this is a taller growing Mexican sage. It grows in Mexico, has beautiful flowers much of the year, would be right at the entry. And then the rest of the border would be this mix of red, white, and blue flowering, kind of a 4th of July theme here, for the sages that would be along the street. So low water use, but very pretty and very durable. And then Claudia will continue describing the changes to the skate park.
Okay, so now we have an image of the original skate plaza design. Again, that was about 3,600 square feet, a very kind of a linear feature. So this is now the revised skateboard plaza. One of the things we did here was, you know, when we were talking about, you know, keeping it the kind of feature that would appeal to, you know, inexperienced skaters, beginner skaters, provide opportunities for older, more experienced skaters to mentor some of the younger or less experienced skaters. One of the things that was brought up was the larger space is actually more, you know, user-friendly and safer because it prevents some of the congestion that could otherwise occur with a smaller area. And so, but it still provides a lot of interest even for experienced skaters. And this was designed by Spawn Ranch Spawn Ranch Skate Parks, who's the sub-consultant to Vanatta. They were at the public workshop in January and were working with a pretty good-sized contingency of skaters to select some of the specific features. I'm not a skate park expert, so I can't really describe what some of those are, but here's another vantage point. And then one last one here. You can see that the area in the foreground is a little bit raised compared to the main plaza area.
Mr. Chair Richards and members of the Commission, staff wanted to communicate to the Commission that we've been fortunate to have worked with a very highly capable consultant team, Ms. Vanatta, and also Spawn Ranch, in the design of the park. And we're excited to be able to bring to you these latest revisions for you to review today as we prepare this park and the design to come back to the full City Council, probably sometime in June, late June. That June or July for their approval. And it's really been a very interesting and rewarding process at the same time to work with all the stakeholders, the neighborhood, the various residents in coming up with what you see here today. And a lot of this is reflected from the input that was received. And it's important to point out on the Skateboard Plaza item that when we met with a number of residents, including those who were Spanish speakers only, they expressed the desire to accommodate a skateboard park plaza component, but they also communicated to staff the importance of making sure that it was still a neighborhood park, since many of the children who will be using this park are also right across the street at Villa Esperanza in the apartments. And so staff has worked with the skateboard advocates who have attended our meetings, the residents, the design team, and what you see here today is kind of a result of that effort. And so I know some of you attended some of those workshops, and it was really great to just hear all of the feedback that was provided to also just be excited about this process to bring really this neighborhood park to Old Town and really for the whole city. And as Claudia mentioned, it's really the first skateboard park plaza designed from the ground up here in the city of Goleta. So that's exciting to be a part of that process also. So staff today is looking for any feedback you have on the design that you see before you. And I'll leave it over to, turn it over to Ms. Dato for additional comments.
Yeah, that actually concluded my presentation. I'm going to take it back to the new design here on the slide. So we're, you know, staff's available for questions, as is Ms. Van Atta.
All right. Yes, Daryl.
Well, I have to say it looks wonderful, and it was a very exciting process. Was it 2 years? 2 years and public hearings, and
yeah,
it's very exciting, and I think the city of Goleta should be very proud and honored to have it. I'm thrilled about the skate park, and I know all of those families that so diligently advocated for it will be getting such a nice size for the space. So I did only have two questions, and it could be right on there, and I just don't see it. So something that many of the young mothers who live across the street mentioned to me, that they would love to be able to, since, you know, walking around there is quite difficult, the sidewalks, there's a lot of cars, they were hoping that there would be a place while their children are playing that they could stroll around with babies in strollers. And then the other thing, and again, it could be up there, and I just don't see it, the little, exercise stops where, I guess, I don't know what they're called, where people can stretch, and there's kind of, am I looking right at all of that?
Oh, let me get the pointer here. Yeah, the outdoor exercise stations
great.
Are off of the, so basically there's a perimeter walking path around the entire park.
Wonderful.
As well as, it's a central alley, is that how you say it, Ms. Van Atta? Alley? Yeah, so up the center here. So this is a nice pathway as well. And then one of the reasons we moved, in addition to being able to reorient this basketball court north-south, is it gave us the opportunity to put some other picnic tables in close proximity to the playground structure here, so that it mm-hmm. gave more eyes on the playground as opposed to just everyone, you know, being adjacent to the center area here. So, yeah. And then there's, you know, some north-south pathways as well that crisscross through here. So there's definitely, you know, ample opportunities to walk in and around the site.
And what about those exercise little...
You know, those are concentrated up in this area.
Great.
Yeah, so I think we've got
four
or five different stations without that outdoor equipment
Wonderful.
That you're talking about.
And just my last question, and I wanted to ask you, please, I did hear you about the one rose bush having no thorns, mm-hmm. which was great, but I wanted to ask you the roses along the north side, that is the California wild rose. Mm-hmm. Are those also thornless?
Those have little teeny thorns that are closely held on the branches. And we originally had those along the edge as to keep because there's something you wouldn't want to walk through. But I had heard that you were concerned about people hurting, putting out their eye with a thorn.
Well, I did have that experience growing up, and that child was blinded in that eye. So I've been a very protected mother and Girl Scout leader, and I was just concerned about the safety. You never know when a child will plow into a bunch of bushes, mm-hmm. running or chasing a ball or a skateboard going flying, and they're trying to retrieve it. So
Claudia was showing you where we still had the native roses, which are near the creek, and they're native to that area. So these are very tiny little thorns that are kind of overlapping and held tightly to the stems. So they do need to stay out of those, but I don't think it's something that, I think it would be very difficult to get your eye onto one of those thorns. But
and they've been basically reduced to just this very small area here.
They'll put in time out.
This is kind of an entry feature where the bicyclists or other pedestrians might be coming from Armitos Park. It's just kind of more of an entry feature there now.
So I personally feel comfortable with the native rose thorns, but do you have any thoughts? Okay. But, you know, it's up to you.
Right. I actually have a question that relates to the pathway, since we were talking about that right now, and in particular with regard to the connectivity to the bike path. So I understand that there is going to be a bike path. It's not there now, but it is planned. And as we know, the rec needs assessment identified, you know, trail connectivity as an important priority. And I do see that there is a path in the upper right corner there, yeah, the northeast corner. That looks like it connects to the bike path. I'm just trying to understand that path that goes along there. That is a bike path also? I mean, so could someone enter from the street? How would they ride along, like through the parking lot? Or what would be the expected path that they would take to get from the street to the bike path through the park?
Well, they could conceivably enter the parking lot. And this is designed more to be a walking path.
Yeah,
so, you know, they probably would be expected to get off their bike and walk it. But we could certainly, you know, look into, I'm not sure what other connection there. This is the first connection of the bike path coming from the south. I mean, eventually this is going to hook up not only with Hollister Avenue, but it's going to go further, much further to the south, mm-hmm. as well as to the north, connecting to Armitos Park, but then further to the north, underneath the railroad tracks and Highway 101, connecting to an existing bike path that's along the creek next to Maravilla, just on the north side of Cai Real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I understand that there are other connections, you know, to get onto the bike path, but if we're going to have a beautiful park here, I think we would expect that people will be on their bicycles. They'll be coming from Old Town Goleta, probably stopping through the park and want to mm-hmm. connect to the bike path, and I think that it might warrant some thought into how people will be riding through the park to get onto the path.
Okay, we can take a look at that.
Or perhaps signage suggesting that, you know, this is a bike-friendly route.
Yeah, it might be that we can just increase the width of this, make this more of a multi-use segment there to where bicyclists could come in and then get on that and hook up to the main bike path.
I don't know what the street name to the at the top of the map there is, but is that an easy connector?
This actually adjoins the Kellogg Ranch plan development, and then to the north of that, Armitos Park is much further to the north.
Okay.
And then you've got the Housing Authority has a number of units there at the southeast corner of Armitos and Kellogg, and then
my question really is there a public street that they could, you know, go up Kellogg, cut across on a public street and join the path, the bike
yes,
path.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. You can, if you go up Kellogg, you'll hit Armitos Street, and then you can, you know, just go down Armitos and hook up to the bike path there. So that is one way. If most people coming from the residential areas of Old Town would probably go down Armitos and then hit the bike path in that direction.
Yeah, and I want to just reiterate that I know that there are other ways to get onto the bike path. I think that if we have a nice park here, it would be a perfect opportunity to have a connection there.
Sure, we can take a look at that.
Other questions? Yes, Jade.
Hi. I wasn't sure if you mentioned this before, but at the handball court below it, what is that structure?
The white?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I should have reiterated that that's a restroom building.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
I also wanted to add my congratulations, Vanetta Associates staff. I think that we ended up with a better design in the redesign. Personally, I mean, I have my own preferences, obviously. I think it's sad that we lost some of the, I guess, flexibility of the soccer field size. But despite that, we have to realize that there are water concerns to deal with. But I did have a specific question regarding water. Now, I've already asked staff one offline, and that one was satisfied. But I'm curious about the restrooms and their take on the water, and I guess subsequent to that, will they already have the latest water-saving fixtures and features? I don't care who answers
that. Yeah, I think that would be our plan, would be to include, you know, whatever maximum water saving features, whether they'd be the type of toilet flush or low flush. Ms. Van Ad is saying she thinks building codes are requiring the low water use.
Now I'll kind of work back around that question and ask, what's the next biggest user of water in the park besides the multipurpose field?
We did do water use analysis, and we actually cut back from there. So the earlier figures we gave Claudia, we did cut back a little bit from that. But the turf is by far the greater water use. We do have those figures, but I didn't actually bring them. Do you have them?
I don't have them with me. I'm thinking that the second user was the other turf areas. It was a different type of turf than the soccer field, but we had a number of other. I can go back to the original design.
And we did change that to the sedge, which is even lower water use than what we actually used in our calculation. So we need to recalculate that. But
I guess ultimately my question is, do we have much wiggle room here? When we cut this back, are we just going to be right at the threshold of our water use? The maximum water use that we're allowed?
As it currently stands, unless the sedges make much of a difference, the revised design was literally right at the maximum allowance.
So it's a little bit better now. And then the other thing I'm suggesting to clients is if the drought does get worse prior to your implementing this, I think you could postpone some of those planting beds. So I think the only things, you know, if you don't plant the field, that would be sad.
Yeah, it would be sad.
And I know you have ruled out artificial turf. A lot of people are going that way. It's not necessarily, a lot of people think it's not necessarily healthy. But there are additional areas of planting that we now have that could go to mulch until the drought is over. So I think that gives you some wiggle room prior to actual planting. So if the drought ends by the time we do this, there's actually more planting you could do. If the drought continues, you'll still have a park with a lot of amenities, but you don't even have to do this much planting. We really were able to leave some really attractive and appealing landscaping here. And again, and I agree with Mr. Hart that in a lot of ways I like this design better, and I also think that we've simplified it in a way that will make the maintenance easier. So we're really at the point where I think this park is occurring with, we're proposing a park that has less water use without any sacrifice, but I think your buffer is getting into the realm of some aesthetic sacrifice, but I don't think any functional sacrifice.
I remember it being floated, the idea at one point that extra water might be brought in to supplement the allocation. Is that, where does that stand?
Currently, unfortunately, there's no recycled water infrastructure in proximity of the park site. The one thing we talked about looking into was doing some trucked-in recycled water just for the establishment period for some of the riparian vegetation. But I think, an ongoing practice of, it would be cost prohibitive to, mm-hmm. to keep trucking in recycled water.
And so the question I have then is, if some of these plants need extra water to get established, then do we expect that over in the next few years then the water usage would actually go down? Would it go down enough to allow us to expand the field at all? Or how much, how much of a drop would we expect?
Right. So I can think of a lot of different answers to that question, but we are planting all the trees now, which once they're established will not require irrigation. So it is true you could consider phasing in additional landscaping as landscaping becomes established. And I think when the time comes and when we know the situation with the drought, which hopefully, it'll be over, why not be optimistic, then we would probably go to another level of a phasing plan if necessary, which I would tend to want to get the trees established. But that's something we would also negotiate with the city. And I guess the one question that hangs out there all the time is, what will our actual water situation be? So that's why I wasn't really sure how to answer your question, because there's speculation involved.
I had another question. This might be micromanaging, but is that splash pad going to be plumbed underneath the mulch? Or?
So we are going to put in the infrastructure so that we could put that in easily. And as a matter of fact, of course the water recirculates in the water feature. So the only water use with that is actually evaporation.
But it's considerable.
Yeah, so we will have that opportunity. We won't have to come in and do any demolition if the splash pad becomes possible.
Yeah, I'll just add the caveat, though, provided the water district allows us to do so. Otherwise, we're just designing that area with just mulch in it. So if we had to go in later, it wouldn't be, demolition of any, equipment or features. But I don't have a final answer from the water district on whether they would even let us to put in the infrastructure. So I just wanted to, throw that out there just in case.
Sleeves. We could put in sleeves.
That's true.
Empty
true.
Pipes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Did you add something? Oh. The other, this is a nominal thing, and maybe it's been discussed and I've forgotten it, but are we going to get a new name for this park? I really don't. I have trouble remembering Hollister Kellogg Park.
I'm sure that at some point the city council will definitely go through some kind of a naming process for the park. I think the city does have policies regarding naming public mm-hmm. facilities. So, yeah, I wouldn't expect that it'll be permanently referred to as that.
And on a personal note, I'm really looking forward. I've seen pickleball. I saw it mentioned in the report, and I've seen it on TV and thought I'd really like to try that. So I'm actually excited about that little extra feature. Now, if you were to switch these courts between the uses, are the facilities going to be accessible by the general public so that they can put up nets or take down things that need to be altered?
I think that's a management decision, but I think we have storage in the restroom building.
Oh, okay. There is storage in the restroom building. I don't have any experience with other multi-use facilities or multi-use courts. Mm-hmm. Maybe you do.
So I've been familiar with them on schools, so there's always staff. And so that's a very good question that would be part of what, as I was sitting there, I was thinking that over time, different activities are more popular and then people move on to the next thing. Bocce ball is a big one now, but sometimes basketball never seems to go away. But it could be that based on demand, you might leave it in a certain setup.
Right, and the fact that you have two gives us that flexibility, which is another plus for this new design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's an ability to have kind of a stationary net feature roll off to the side, and then people can just roll out the net and hook it up if they want to play pickleball or badminton or tennis, and then...
Yes,
Daniel. I have a question for you all. So the area that might one day be used for the water, you know, oftentimes parks are used by people who are not into sports. Is there any way in which, you know, there could be Tai Chi or dance classes or other activities in that spot that are a wonderful form of recreation and exercise, but does not involve, you know, a ball usage? Is there a way in which, you know, little girls after school and in the summer could put out a old-fashioned ghetto blaster and dance and, you know, do some fun things that aren't related to playing with a ball?
Yeah, I mean, certainly within the mulched areas, you could have a lot of other passive or semi-passive activities. I think even within the large, you know, playground area that the splash pad is also located within, you know, this is going to be all safety surface in the center, and I would anticipate some areas that are also, you know, just left open for kind of running play and impromptu play.
And those big mulch areas, I mean, some people might want to engage in that activity away from any kind of ball play so that they wouldn't have to worry about getting hit by a ball.
And I should say that we don't anticipate, I've been meaning to have, you know, these reduced, I wouldn't anticipate this many picnic tables in these areas. Mm-hmm. So probably maybe half of that amount just kind of interspersed. So that there will still be some large open areas.
Okay.
Again, kudos.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to say, too, thank you for your work. Thank you for your presentation today, and it's great to have an update. We do have a member of the public here that would like to comment on this, Ken Knight.
Hi, my name's Ken Knight. I'm a resident of Goleta, a registered consulting arborist. And at the last council meeting, I passed along some comments there that we'll pass out to you. I'm particularly interested in the sister witness tree, and I still think there's some work to be done in terms of the design of the park to incorporate the sister witness tree. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the sister witness tree. Hopefully you've all had a chance to touch it. If you have not touched the sister witness tree, I would welcome you. I'd love to take you on a tour over there to actually go see it. It's that little spot down there at the bottom. Right over here.
Yep.
The fence that goes around the south of the park takes a southerly dive into the parking lot. So it actually does not go along the edge there. And so it goes down to the south and comes across a little bit into the property of the adjacent parking lot there. So when we say that the design of the park is not going to affect the tree, you're going to have a fence at the south end of the park. Susan, isn't that correct? Isn't there a fence at the south end of the park? There's got to be something to delineate the south end of the park.
Yeah, I think it stops just past the
Now it goes south. It's going to have to be brought up north because the property of the city goes right through the sister witness tree. This is not just an ordinary tree. This is a champion tree. This is a tree that's been there for hundreds of years. It is not just the biggest tree in Goleta, not just the biggest tree in Southern California. Or even in California, it is the largest tree in the country. It is a champion tree. If you look at other communities, like the city of Carpinteria, where they have the Wardholm pine, which is the largest torii pine in the country, they have almost a whole block out there with a sign on it, and they take real good care of it. If you look at the city of Santa Barbara, they have the Moreton Bay fig tree, which, by the way, is not a champion tree anymore because it's a bigger one in Glendora. But they have put up, well, it used to be, for those people who have been in Santa Barbara for a long time, they used to have all kinds of people lounging around the base of that tree, and they loved it to death. And they finally had to put up a fence around it to keep people out of it. I don't think what right now, by just saying that the design of the park is not going to affect the tree, there's going to be a multitude of people coming to see that tree. And if that bike path gets built, there's going to be a lot of people right on the bottom of the tree. And this is my biggest concern. As an arborist, compaction is what kills trees. If you go to, I'm out of time. Do I have any more time here to talk?
We'll give you another minute.
Okay. Well, what I try to impress, and a lot of this is in the letter, is that compaction kills trees. People kill trees in the sense that they'll love it to death. The first thing it's likely to do is they're going to clear all the mulch out of there. They're going to regrade that area. That area was partly regraded during the San Jose Creek floods. If we regrade it now, some of those roots have grown back in there. What I'm asking you to do is to take ownership of this. This isn't a public works tree. It's not a parks and recreation tree. This is a tree that is part of the park, and it's going to be a crown jewel of the park. But it's not integrated into the design of the park right now. And it needs a lot of attention. It's an old, cranky tree. It needs help. It needs health assessments. It needs risk assessments. It's not only the fact that what we're going to do to that tree, but what that tree can potentially do to residents if it's not well taken care of. It's not getting enough water right now. There's a lot of issues surrounding this tree that should be incorporated, I think, into the design of the park. And also what's needed is an emergency care plan in the event something goes wrong. Please consider that.
Mr. Knight, thank you very much for your comments. I appreciate that. Any additional discussion or questions? All right, thank you. There was no action necessary for that, right? That was just giving feedback and having a discussion.
Staff has made a note of the comments that have been received, and we'll work with the consultant team on those comments.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, the next item on the agenda, B2, Recreation Needs Assessment Strategic Prioritization Schedule. Ms. Reyes-Martin?
Mr. Chair and members of the Commission, while Ms. Reyes-Martin gets ready for her staff report, staff has been working very closely with a number of departments in the now adopted Recreation Needs Assessment document. And today, staff is, through Ms. Reyes-Martin, going to present to you kind of a schedule to go through that very important document. And we'll be covering this through a number of Parks and Recreation Commission meetings from now until roughly the end of the year and obviously into the next year, since we now have a very important document to review levels of maintenance and infrastructure and a number of important documents and components of that document that we'll be discussing with the Commission in greater detail. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Reyes-Martin for the staff report.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission. I will be walking you through the staff report, and then we can have some discussion and questions. So since we last met on April 15th, where the Commission approved or forwarded the Recreation Needs Assessment to the City Council for their consideration, staff presented the report to the City Council at their meeting on May 5th. At that meeting, the City Council received a presentation from RJM, which included an overview of the process and key findings from the report. Overall, the feedback from the City Council was positive, and they unanimously voted to approve the report. Additionally, the City Council directed staff to work with the Commission to identify project priorities and return to Council with recommendations. With the adoption of the report, staff has prepared a proposed approach to guide the Commission in their prioritization discussions over the course of their next several meetings. The recommendations contained in the report are very wide-ranging, as you know, and have differing timelines, scope of work, and potential funding sources. In an effort to assist the Commission in the task of reviewing these recommendations in depth and beginning to prioritize them, staff is recommending an approach whereby the Commission can focus on particular topic areas at each of their scheduled meetings. A summary of those proposed topic areas is provided in your staff report, and I'll go through that in just a minute. What we're proposing is that at each of these meetings, which we're going to call prioritization meetings, we will have a staff report and a presentation that will include where staff will pull out from the REC needs assessment report the recommendations that pertain to that particular topic area so that we can take them in chunks, so to speak, and be able to provide relevant background information that will inform the Commission as they prioritize those recommendations, whether it's clarification information, information from our various departments on projects that they're already doing that relate to those recommendations, or any planned future projects. We will provide all of that information in the staff report and the presentation for each of those meetings. Additionally, the report identified one of their biggest recommendations was to consider collaborations and partnerships across many different areas. So that piece will be part of each of our meetings. There's ways in which we can talk about collaborations and partnerships as it relates to active recreation, as it relates to senior programs, as it relates to youth programs. So that kind of will permeate all of these discussions. Additionally, over the last year, there have been various community organizations that have approached the city and have expressed an interest in giving a presentation to the Commission on their organization, their programs, and ways in which they can work with the city and the Commission to further their program. So we think it's appropriate for us to consider inviting those organizations, which we've built up kind of a bank of them, to come and present at your meetings that have discussions that relate to those organizations, such as the Trails Council, but also the Boys and Girls Club, Gersh Park, those types of organizations. We would invite them to participate so that you'll have that information as well. At each of these meetings, we'll ask the Commission to provide feedback on prioritization of those recommendations. And what we'll do is we're proposing using the November Commission meeting to kind of do the overall recap. This is what we discussed at each of the meetings, and provide you with a list of that. We'll organize it in some way that is perhaps tiered with, you know, some, you know, estimates on budget and timelines, so you'll have that full the full range of information, so that at that November meeting we can have kind of the Commission approve a list going forward, or a tiered list going forward of your priority projects. And the importance of that timeline is that that will allow staff to take your recommendations and incorporate them into the mid-year budget cycle, which will occur just after the end of the calendar year. So we'll be in a great position to have better timing to forward your recommendations to Council for consideration at their mid-year budget discussions, which will occur. They typically occur in January, or begin in January. In early 2016. And we do anticipate, you know, that this will not be kind of the only time that we go through this. Of course, there will be a significant work effort as the first time, but staff anticipates doing some kind of quarterly or annual report to the commission on progress that's being made, if there's a need to change things around, change your priorities. For example, you know, we have instances such as the drought and the water shortage where if we had been doing this, you know, several years ago, perhaps that would have necessitated changing some of our priorities. So this will be a living document. It will, you know, continually be reassessed. Our intent is definitely not to have that REC needs assessment report sit on the shelf. So for staff, in looking at all the topic areas and all the different recommendations that are included in the report, we did want to bring it to the commission's attention that perhaps we should consider holding an additional meeting proposed in August, just so that we're not, you know, having to try to tackle too much at any one meeting, though we will leave that up to the commission's discretion if you think we should consider that. If we do get feedback tonight that we should move forward with that, staff has looked at available dates for council chambers, staff, and as well as our TV crew. So you have in the staff report three dates in August that are available. And we also wanted to note that we think these discussions will take up the bulk of the meeting, but we do also have, you know, regular business that might come up as well. So we are trying to be sensitive to not having you here all night for your proposed meetings, but want to get your feedback on that. So just to recap, the proposed schedule would be, and of course this is up to you, we want your feedback on this if you think this is good or you have some suggestions. For your July 29th meeting, we would discuss parks and open space maintenance with an emphasis on safety, and as well as drought response and water conservation. Those topics all generally fall under our Public Works Department, and we do plan to have our Public Works Director, Ms. Rosemary Gaglione, here at that meeting. And we will provide a lot of information for the commission on the current activities planned, as well as how the city is addressing the drought declarations and water conservation as it relates to our parks and facilities. The proposed August meeting would tackle passive recreation, open space, walking, hiking, and bicycling trails, and active recreation. Your September meeting would cover programming, so both youth programming and senior programming. And then, as I mentioned, that November meeting would be that recap type of meeting. So we'd like your feedback on the proposed approach, the approach in general, the topic areas, and your direction on consideration of an additional commission meeting. If you choose not to have that additional commission meeting, we would just, you know, bump those to your other existing meetings. And with that, I'll open it up for discussion and questions.
All right, thank you very much. Daryl?
Oh, I think it's a great idea and very happy to accommodate an August meeting.
Okay, Greg?
Thank you, Liz. That's, I believe that the prioritization plan is very good. I think that this is an expansive discussion potentially, and I think that this approach of taking bites of it, manageable bites, is going to be critical to the discussion overall. I am in support of this proposed plan as it stands. I do think that the August meeting is essential if we do want to have input into the mid-year budget cycle. So I also support that at this time.
Yes, Jade.
I agree, and then also the prioritization of everything and having the Public Works Director be involved in the August, and then the August meeting works is a great idea as well.
Great. I also agree. I just add my two cents. I support it. I think it's a great way to take a very large project and kind of try to compartmentalize it and make it manageable. I also support adding a meeting in August. My only hesitation is that three of our members aren't here, so I'm a little reluctant to set a date. I don't know if there are other feelings or suggestions to how to proceed if we can.
We're going to have to, I think, schedule it at this point, but we could potentially revise it if necessary.
What staff would suggest is if we get a consensus from, you know, the quorum commission that we should have a meeting in August, then the specific date we can work out offline. We just need direction that, yes, we should have that.
Darryl.
I just thought I'd share any of the, those three dates would be fine with me. So.
Thank you.
So I'm hearing a consensus. I don't know. Do we need a motion?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
I would like to move that we approve the proposed approach and schedule of topics for the prioritization.
And schedule an August meeting, or should that be a separate motion?
I would assume it would be a separate.
Okay. All right. Do we have a second for Greg's motion?
I second.
Great. Thank you. Sorry. I'm looking over there. All right. Any objection to that consensus of that motion? None. Okay. All right. So we approve of this approach. And do we have a motion to schedule a meeting? Darryl, and second?
I'll second that.
Greg, okay. Any objection to scheduling an August meeting? None. Okay.
Thank you. And I know Mr. Adamiatis and I want to particularly thank Chair Richards and Vice Chair Hart for your feedback and helping us come up with this proposed approach and the feedback of the rest of the commission at the previous meetings. We think that this will be a great structure for us to have really good conversations over the next couple of meetings. Thank you.
I agree. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So it looks like now we're on to item B3, rescheduling of the September meeting. I'll throw that back to staff.
Thank you. So along with our scheduling for the rest of the year, staff has realized that your scheduled September 23rd meeting this year, Yom Kippur, which is an important Jewish holiday, falls on that date. So we, staff is, would like the commission to consider rescheduling that meeting so that it does not conflict with that holiday. We have looked at availability, and Monday, September 21st is available. It's a little tight in September with a lot of meetings going on, so that is the only date that we are proposing. If that works for at least the quorum, we will move forward with that date. If it does not, you can direct staff to look at a meeting in October, though ideally we would like to stick to September.
Comments? Does it work for people's schedules?
Is there any objection?
Well, all I could say is I cannot come, but there surely would be a quorum without me. You know, since we are meeting in July on the 29th, we're meeting in August. If we had a meeting at the very beginning of October, if that would suit staff in this room, I think that might work. Or please go ahead and plan the 21st, you know.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Would you like feedback, Commissioner West, on how difficult that might be? I mean, is that really the contingency of your question? Could we move it to October without a lot of difficulty? Is that right?
Sure.
Okay.
What staff would say is we would want the commission's direction on, yes, look for a date in October instead, or stick with the 21st. If I recall, I did look at 2 weeks around the 23rd, and this was the best date as far as everyone's availability, but I could, you know, take another look.
If you've already done that assessment, I would suggest we probably stick with that date despite losing Commissioner West.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and if the rest of us are, at least the rest of us here, are able to be there, we can hopefully assume that one of the other three could make it as well. And I regret that you wouldn't be able to come. But I think it is important to try to get this rescheduled and have something on the books, because I understand that's a very busy time for a lot of people. So Is there an objection from the commission then? Or does someone want to propose a motion to reschedule it to September 21st?
I motion to approve the new scheduled date for the next meeting, or for September meeting.
September meeting, okay.
I'd like to second that motion.
All right. Any objection to consensus approval of that? None. Okay. Looks like we have a new date.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving along. Item C, future agenda items.
So you have from your staff report your list of all the future agenda items that you'll have. In addition to the prioritization meetings, some regular business that will come up over the next several months will be possibly an update on the Civic Center feasibility study as that continues to move along, as well as report back on the city's adopted budget, which is proposed to happen in June. And Mr. Adamidis will provide a little bit more information on that in his director's report.
Thank you. Director's report, Mr. Adamidis.
Thank you, Chair Richards. Just a couple of items for you tonight. I'm first off very pleased that we were able to bring the Hollister Kellogg Park design revisions to you tonight. And although three of our commissioners weren't here to participate in the process, I'm sure that they would be pleased with the evolution of the design of the park and how it really fits in and integrates into the neighborhood. And we're really excited to see this park come to fruition, so we'll continue working with the design team on that. On the director's item, with regard to the city's budget process, as the commission is aware, the city is currently underway in a two-year budget process. In fact, tomorrow we have another city council workshop on the budget. On May 20th, at the council's capital improvement program budget workshop, staff working with the Department of Public Works, the city manager, our city finance director, requested placeholders for high-priority projects that could be considered in the next 5 years. These projects will be further discussed and considered with the commission as part of the commission's prioritization process. Additionally, our public works director has requested budget resources to support park improvements related to safety and replacement of aging play structures. The city council will consider adoption of the city's two-year budget document on June 9th. So, very soon, in a couple weeks or so, we'll be there for the adoption of this important document for the city, the budget. Staff will report back to the commission the outcome of the adopted budget at the July commission meeting. So at your July 29th meeting, staff will give you a complete summary of the entire budget process and how it ties into the recreation needs assessment, because now this document has the opportunity and linkage to not only the budget but also departmental efforts in other departments, mainly the Departments of Public Works, and as mentioned previously, Ms. Rosemary Gaglione, our City Public Works Director and City Engineer, will be present at the next meeting in July. Just a couple of other items. The Gersh Park 4th of July event is already, July is not that far away. And so staff is working with the Goleta Noontime Rotary Club on that important event, and looking forward to a great turnout again this year. Also tomorrow at the city's budget workshop, the council will be getting an update from the city manager on the response to the oil, the Refugio oil spill incident, and measures and updates related to this incident. And working with all the various agencies that are involved. Again, the next meeting will be July 29th at 6 p.m. We will have, between now and the end of the year, I believe, a total of four meetings. And four meetings will go fairly quickly. And the end of the year will be upon us. So I think it's been an important year already for the commission, for staff, in the completion of the rec needs assessment. And all of your involvement, it's really been a collaborative work with the community, with the commission, with staff and the consultant team. And we're really excited about that document now finally having been adopted by council, and now the real work, I should say, the heavy lifting work goes into this document and the programming and the budgeting and the carrying out of the implementation and objectives. So we're excited to be a part of that process. That concludes the director's report for you tonight.
If I might just add a comment?
Yes.
Okay. I think you guys have done staff. I'll use the staff, but I'm focusing my attention on you two right here. Have done just a wonderful job of taking control of this very large needs assessment, organizing us as a council, or I'm sorry, as a commission, and I think it's just going to be critical to this going forward. You mentioned that there's just four meetings, and you know, I'm very concerned about the time that we have allotted to handle all of the things that we need to handle. So I'm just going to make this suggestion to the commissioners as a whole, is to try to be very mindful of time going forward in our meetings. I'll probably reiterate this at the next meeting, but you know, if we can be succinct with our comments, be very focused with our direction and our activities, I think that we'll be able to tackle this in a meaningful way. I also, you know, I'm trying to put it upon myself to handle as many things offline as I can as well. It gives staff an opportunity to investigate and get answers and not waste the valuable time in our commission meetings for questions that I have, you know, my wild brain comes up with every now and again. So I just want to put that out there as time management is going to be critical. I hope everyone will do everything they can to make good use of it. Thank you.
Yes, Daryl?
I realize, I'm 4th of July question. So I realize that Stowe House is not a part of the city of Goleta, and I know that Gersh Park is not officially part of the city of Goleta, but are we doing anything as the city having representation or volunteers at either of those locations on 4th of July?
For the Gersh Park event, the city does coordinate with law enforcement to provide police coverage and traffic control and circulation for that event up to a specified amount. With regard to the Stowe, I don't know if we provide any support. I can certainly check on that for you.
Thank you. I just think it's a wonderful event in the city, and I just didn't know if we did anything.
And Gersh Park, as you know, is centrally located in the city, certainly a part of the city of Goleta. We're excited to see the Ice in Paradise going up. Yeah. So it's a busy area of the city and a very highly used facility. So it's great to have both of those in the city of Goleta, and we look forward to a big future with them.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your report and for all your hard work. We appreciate it. All right. It looks like that's the end of our meeting, so I hereby adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.